Doctor, I think I've got angina. What's this all about? So, Mrs. Potts, remember, your heart, just like any other organ in the body, needs its own supply of oxygen. In angina, this supply is reduced, which can lead to strain on the heart, causing classic symptoms. For example, pain or tightness in the center of a chest, which may move to the left arm, to the shoulder, and to the jaw, for example. Now, typically, angina pain is worse on exertion, so essentially when the oxygen is needed more than ever. But it can happen at rest as well, and that's what we classify as unstable angina. Now, angina is usually caused by a narrowing of arteries supplying the heart, most often due to what we call atheroma. But there are other reasons that can lead to narrowing as well. There are certain risk factors for angina, and you may be asked about things like smoking or cholesterol levels. There's a variety of blood tests that may be done looking for these risk factors, and things like ECGs may be done, or a tracing of the heart, which ultimately may be normal. But there may be other tests that are needed in the future, things like echocardiograms or things like angiograms. Now, in terms of management, we're looking at things like changing lifestyle. We're looking at certain medications which can help with angina symptoms, both in the acute form using a spray called GTN, but also medications in tablet form going forward in the long term. We're also looking at medications to try and reduce the risk of you having things like heart attacks. And sometimes surgery may be needed to open up the arteries and improve the blood flow again. So, doctor, what are gallstones? They mentioned that my symptoms may be due to those as well. So, Miss Malik, do you remember how we talked about the gallbladder producing a liquid called bile? Now, gallstones occur when bile, which is normally liquid or fluid, turned into stone or firm substance. Now, most people with gallstones don't have any symptoms and never really know that they have gallstones in the first place, but they can sometimes lead to symptoms and certain complications, so it's important that we monitor them. Now, as the gallbladder lies on the right side of the upper part of your abdomen, usually symptoms relate to right-sided upper abdominal pain. This happens most often in what we call biliary colic. Here, one of the stones gets stuck in the pipe that leads from the gallbladder through to the small intestine. And that blockage can lead to wave-like patterns of pain that happen as the gallbladder tries to squeeze the stone out through that pipe. Sometimes the stones can lead to infection or inflammation. This is known as cholecystitis. Here, as well as pain, you may be getting things like fever and feeling generally unwell. Sometimes the presence of a gallstone can lead to infection or inflammation of the pancreas. This is known as pancreatitis, which we'll talk about later. And it can also lead to things like jaundice, which happens when bile can't flow freely. And again, we'll talk about this in a second. Now, most people with gallstones don't need any treatment, but some people do, depending on their symptoms. Apart from painkillers, there are certain medications that may dissolve certain smaller stones, but also ultimately an operation may be needed to remove the gallbladder and its contents as well. You may have heard of this known as a cholecystectomy. So, doctor, how does this differ from autosomal recessive? So, Mr. Khalid, in an autosomal recessive condition, you need two copies of an abnormal gene to have the condition, i.e. one gene alone is not strong enough to override the other normal one. If you have only one affected gene, then you're termed a carrier. You may or may not know this. You may have some features, and if so, they are often much milder than if you have the full condition. Now, a child can only get an autosomal recessive condition if both parents carry the gene. And even then, if both parents are only carriers of the condition, there's only a 25% chance that the child will have the full condition. And again, there's no relation to gender in autosomal recessive conditions. Doctor, I've got osteoarthritis, but my mum has rheumatoid arthritis. What's the difference? So, Mrs. Campbell, rheumatoid arthritis is a condition that leads to swelling, stiffness, and pain of various joints, which over time can ultimately lead to damage of those joints as well. Now, the cause is unclear, but it's thought to be autoimmune. This means the body attacks itself, and in this case, it attacks the synovium, the tissue that surrounds the joints. Now, usually, in rheumatoid arthritis, the small joints, for example, the fingers, are affected, but any joint in the body, in theory, can be affected by this condition. And not just joints, other parts of the body can be affected as well, for example, lungs and eyes. Now, it's likely that you'll need several x-rays and blood tests, Blood tests in particular, things like rheumatoid factor and also something called CCP that you may come across. But there are others as well. Now, in terms of management or treatment, firstly, there's no cure to rheumatoid arthritis, but with early treatment with medications like DMARDs that you may have heard of, we can try and reduce the process of inflammation. And secondly, we can help with the symptoms. There are medications for pain and things like stiffness, for example, non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. And sometimes things like physiotherapy and surgery may be needed further down the line, but this depends very much on the person, the joints that are affected, and the impact on that person's life. Doctor, someone has told me I've got an allergy to bananas. Someone's told me I've got an intolerance to bananas. What's the difference? So, Mrs. Rodriguez, there's a clear difference between the two. An allergy is when we get what we call an immune-mediated reaction from the body. So our immune system has a reaction to that particular food. It's what you call an allergic reaction. In food intolerance, there's no allergic reaction that takes place. Basically, our gut finds it difficult to digest certain types of food substance, and this can lead to certain uncomfortable symptoms, things like bloating, things like cramping, for example. Now, an allergy can happen straight away, immediately, and it can be life-threatening, whereas a food intolerance can sometimes happen a few hours after you eat the food, and they're not life-threatening, they're just uncomfortable. Doctor, I've been referred for an audiogram. What can I expect? So, Mrs. Presley, an audiogram is produced during what we call pure tone audiometry. It's used to assess different tones, and ultimately, it can help us look at different patterns of your hearing loss. Now, usually you're given a headphone, and certain sounds are played through it, and you're supposed to say yes or no when you can hear or when you can't hear various sound types. And this information is plotted on an audiogram, which can be very useful in planning your assessment and your treatment going forward.